You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Take your Bibles tonight. We're going to be throughout 1 and 2 Samuel. If you go to the last chapter of 1 Samuel, I'd appreciate orchestra. Thank you so much for playing. My goodness, you make the service, and we'll let you go ahead and find your place to sit tonight. We'll get the parents in here. And if you want to put a marker in 1 Samuel, that's really not the predominant text we'll be in, but 1 Samuel 31. We'll begin there in just a moment. Before we get to that chapter, I want to read to you from Acts chapter 13, one verse, and it's the hub of our verse, our message tonight. I appreciate God's people. It is such an honor and such a privilege to be your pastor. I thank God that he allowed my wife and I to stay with all of our money. We could have ran any time. Mary, we're worth $100 million. Where did they get that kind of stuff? But really, this is such a model church. I have really been praying and working for Pastors Conference because you're going to have to infuse encouragement into the men of God. It's a sad thing what I see happening. And by the way, there are many great preachers and many great churches. I'm not saying we're the only one. But it seems like the vast majority are going through hard times. It's like, is there any hope? It seems like we're playing ring around the rosy with our church. I go to this church and hop over to this church, and everywhere I go, people are just jumping ship. People that know better, leading deacons, leading staff members, and going down the block and starting other churches and creating chaos. We're going to raise a lot of money this year. I'm going to pour everything I can into these preachers. Your investment in Pastors Conference is more important to me than the election. We need a good president. We've got to have great men of God and men that will rise up and say, I'm a young man. I'm a high school student, a junior high, college student, but I'm going to serve God. Amen. And if it's sunshine day or if it's a sad day, I'm going to serve God. Amen. Our message predominantly will come from 2 Samuel 19, 18, 19, and 20. But I begin in Acts chapter 13, one verse, and then we're going to move back and transfer back to 1 Samuel chapter 31. There's a reason for that. And I hope you'll listen carefully. The Bible says this of David in Acts chapter number 13, verse 22. And when he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, to whom also he gave this testimony. Tonight I want to speak to us about our testimony. And the Bible said he had this testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which has fulfilled my will. Here is David, and David was a man that sought after God, walked with God, knew God. Yes, he failed, but he lived for God. His testimony was for God. You know, as I think of that tonight, I'm speaking on the subject, the testimony of a great man. Now, ladies, it could be a testimony of a great lady, because we need Proverbs 31 ladies like we've never needed it before. I believe, and men as well, and teenagers, I believe all this new movement in our churches to compromise everything will be our destruction. I do not believe not one iota that canceling church on Sunday night is God's plan. I don't believe that. I just don't believe that's God's will that we do the one and done stuff. And we barely do the one. We come like we're going to a beach. We come like we're going to a party. We're doing the God thing, man. Cool, baby. We're treating God like he's just, I'll get you to my 1 hour thing and then I'm done with you. And that is basically what's happened to our churches. And basically it becomes a seminar, our social. You can get as mad in the internet, go ahead and blast me all you want this week, but we are losing our country because of the people of God and men of God. We come like we're going to the beach. We act like this thing gets, let's get this thing over and done with. We sing some little ditty song that you can't re-sing because these worship songs, they don't carry with you. It's not like, I wash you. Hey, listen, I've got 50 years here. Holy, 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 still works. It works. And since Jesus came into my heart, still works. That and an old time religion still works, and having an invitation still works, and seeing people saved and people come to the house of God and strong preaching still works. And I'm so burdened about this thing because look, I'm going to be laid out to rest over here one of these days. I've lived a long life. You'll go by maybe spit on my marker or say spend some time there, but I'll be out there in the marker not long. It won't take, if the Lord tarries, I'll be out there. But my kids and grandkids won't be out there. By the grace of God, I want to precede them in death. And I want to leave them a church with Sunday school. You're going to be hard pressed to find churches with Sunday school right now. They're dropping it left and right. They don't want Sunday school. And yet, well, you know, you don't want to go to a church like Trevor's. He's so weak. He's not an expository preacher. I do a lot of expository preaching. But he's not Bible-based. He's this and that. Then why do you drop Sunday school? Why do you drop Sunday night? Why do you drop Wednesday night? Why do you drop the hymn book? Why do you drop the choir? Why do you turn the lights down low on the platform so it looks like a entertainment? No, this is church. Let your light. I think there's something about light. Preacher, you agree with me on that. I think there's something about light in a church. It's not like a nightclub. I have a testimony. You have a testimony. And simply this, a testimony is a declaration that defines a person. The name's going to be out there, Jack Treber. I don't know if they'll put anything on the back, but I wish it could say a man after God's heart, like David. I wish it could say a preacher of the gospel. And I like that word gospel, I like that on the marker. I'd like to be old time religion. I'd like to be where it says husband, father, papa, pastor. I like those. Now maybe it won't say any of that, but we all have a testimony. I can go to some markers and I see the testimony, it grieves my heart. Tonight we're going to look at David. Father, these people are so great. I love them so much. And I pray that we might recognize that all of us have a testimony. I think of the Millers back there with their health, and yet they struggle, yet they come. Sister Miller, they come. Sunday morning, Sunday night, they're here, long distance. They want church. I think of Dr. Nikolai right down here, Lord, how that he struggles with his health, with cancer. And yet he longs to be in church. He needs church. And thankful, he wants church. And God, many of us, maybe not these, but myself and others might be nearing the shore. I pray that we'd leave righteousness, holiness, godliness. We all have a testimony, bear a testimony. It's what we're known for. David, known for his courage and compassion and conviction and his concern, his commission, his cause, his character. God, help us to have a good testimony. As we see this man's life, may we mirror it tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. What was his testimony? Go back with me to the last chapter in 1 Samuel. My Bible says, here's his testimony. Every lady, are you listening? Every teenager, are you listening? Pastor, are you listening? I'm listening. He loved his enemies. Anybody can love a friend. Look what the Bible says in chapter number 31. The Bible says, so Saul died, verse 6, and his three sons, chapter 31, verse 6, Saul died, and his three sons and his armor bearer and all his men that same day together. And when the men of Israel that were on the other side of the valley and they that were on the other side of Jordan saw that the men of Israel fled and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook the cities and fled. The Philistines came and dwelt in them. It came to pass on the morrow when the Philistines came to the strip of the slain that they found Saul and his three sons fallen in Mount Gilboa. They cut off his head and stripped his armor and set him to the hand of the Philistines round about to publish it in the house of the idols among the people. They put the armor in the house of Ashtaroth and they fastened his body to the wall of Bethshan. And when the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead heard that what the Philistines had done to Saul, the valiant men rose up all night and took the body of Saul, the body of his sons. They took up their bones and they buried them under a tree. You know, I think if you would be David, the guy that's been chasing you and hunting you, and thrown a javelin multiple times at you to try to kill you. And he hunted him in the deserts. And he hunted him in the mountains. And he hunted him in the caves. And he tried repeatedly to kill David, who never did any wrong to Saul. He went out and slew the giant for Saul and for the children of Israel. He went and fought battles for Saul. And now he gets what he deserves. Here, now Saul dies. And they chop his head off. It's about time. That's not David's heart. David's heart was saddened. Look what he says in 2 Samuel chapter 1. Verse 19, the beauty of Israel is slain. He said his enemy was the beauty of Israel slain upon the high places. How are the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath. Publish it not the streets of Ascalon, lest the daughters rejoice. He said Saul and Jonathan, verse 23, were lovely and pleasant in their lives. Verse 25, David's weeping. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of battle? Verse 27, how are the mighty fallen and the weapons of war perish? My Bible says in Matthew 5, 44, love your enemies. I wonder tonight who has done you wrong. I wonder how this will play out in your life. I wonder if there is an enemy that's just done you wrong. Not you. You've done nothing wrong. I wonder if it's a relative, a business dealing. I wonder who's done you wrong and has hurt you and has said things that a wound that's so grievous. And then we hear they were killed. Their life is over. David wasn't happy about this. Somehow you preach the gospel, you get people that become your enemies. They get bitter at you. They get mad at you. People can choose what they want to do, but God's people ought not to ever be bitter toward anyone. Bitterness, Hebrews 12:15, will not only destroy yourself, but it will destroy, the Bible says, those that are around you. You mother, you father, will destroy your children with bitterness if we harbor bitterness in our heart. Bitterness begins with ourselves, and it always destroys its own container. But bitterness spills over and it destroys those that are around us. I don't want our children and their mates to be bitter at anything. I see people, I hear of people posting things online and they're cruel. I never get involved with that. I say, well, they shouldn't be saying that about me. They shouldn't be saying, you know, first of all, I know what people publish. Enough people tell me. They'll text me, I'm sorry what they're saying about you on the internet. Well, God bless you, I didn't know they were. But my life is not going to be sprung how that people hate fundamentals and people hate Old Testament, New Testament local churches. People hate the things of God. They hate Santa Clara. They hate our church. And you know what? Some folks are going to hate this place. But that's not on me. My job is to love my enemy. Those that work against me and say, well, you know, I'm going to leave. I hear it all the time. And I'm going to leave fundamentalism. They call it like it's a movement. I'm going to leave old time religion because people are just so mean. Hey, that crowd is leaving is mean to me. I'm not leaving life because someone says something against me. My goodness gracious. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, persecute you, say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. You young preachers, you'll graduate from here and you'll go out and serve, and there'll be some other church in town. They start to criticize you and attack you and steal your members, and it goes on and on and on what people do, and they'll print things about you and say things about you. Answer not a fool according to their folly. Leave them alone. Don't hurt someone else. They can hurt you, but don't you retaliate. I tell you why this man had a good testimony. He loved his enemies. We're tonight over here in 2 Samuel. And let's start in chapter 18. Not only did he love his enemies, he loved his family. He loved his, 2 Samuel 18, he loved his son who was disloyal to him. I can't imagine what some of you have had to go through with your children. It hurts me to think of I had a prayer request given to me in another church. Haven't talked to our daughters in 7 years. Bible school graduates, they won't talk to us. That hurts me to think that parents go through. I know on a regular basis I hear our family, our kids are grown, they won't let us see our grandkids because we go to church. They used to go to church, they were involved, but they got out of church, and now they turned on their own parents. David loved his enemies. David loved his son. The Bible says, there was a word that was coming in chapter 18, verse 19, and Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, he began to run to give information about what took place with Absalom, David's son. David, who wanted to kill his own, Absalom, who wanted to kill his own father, David. And the Bible said another began to run at the same time, Cushai. And in verse 21, when Joab said to Cushai, go tell the king what thou hast seen. And Cushai bowed himself, and Joab ran. And him, as the son of Zadok, said to Joab, but whosoever, let me, I pray thee, run after Cushai. And Joab said, wherefore wilt thou run, my son? See that thou hast no tidings ready. You don't even have a right message to give yet. And he said, he went and he overran Cushai, and David sat between the gates. He saw these running, and the watchman cried, verse 25, and the king said, if he be alone, there's tidings of his mouth. And he came apace and drew near, and the watchman said, no, he said, another man running. The watchman called the porter, and behold, the another man running alone. And the king said, he also bringeth tidings. I've got information about my boy. I've got information what's going on with my boy. And the watchman said, methink the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. And the king said, he's a good man, and come with good tidings. He came into the presence of the king in verse 29. And the king said, would you read this with me? Verse 29. The king said, ready, begin. Is the young man safe? Absalom, the man that was trying to kill his own dad, the man that got two trusted assistants of David, Hushai and Ahithophel, to turn against his own dad, inner cabinet staff members that turned against his own dad, and they plotted his death and how they were going to kill their right hand, their king that they worked for all these years, how they're going to kill him. And he said, oh, it's a young man. David knew what they were up to. And when Ahimaaz answered, Joab sent the servant, and me and thy servant, I saw the multitude, tumult. I knew not what it was. Behold, Hushai came, and Hushai said, tidings, my lord, the king, for this is what he says. King, good news, good news. I've got something, verse 31, to tell you. You're going to love it. The Lord, real spiritual, hath avenged thee this day of them that rose up against thee. What is he saying? We got your son. God's going to avenge you. Your boy that's been breaking your heart. Your boy that was exiled. Your boy that hurt the family. Your boy that took the life of a half-brother. Your boy that had people do his dirty work. Your boy that set Joab's fields on fire. Your boy that tried, he put himself in the gate of the city and said, if I were the king, I would pay attention to you. And he began to steal the hearts, the Bible said, of the people of Israel. And he said, verse 32, he asked the question, is the young man Absalom safe? And here's how he answered him. The enemies of the Lord, the king, and all that rise against thee, do thee to hurt, because as that young man is. He said, we got him. Your boy's dead. Yes! Verse 33 is one of the saddest verses in the Bible. Dad, could you put yourself in this spot? Mother, can you? Let's read it together, verse 33. Ready, begin. And the king was much moved. Look what he says in chapter 19. It was told Joab, behold, the king weepeth and mourneth for Absalom. And the victory that day was turned to mourning. Verse 4, and the king covered his face and cried with a loud voice, oh, my son, Absalom, oh, Absalom, my son, my son. He loved his enemies. He loved his boy. Your son, your daughter, your relatives break your heart. They become drug addicts and alcoholics and God deniers, whatever it is, and they're out to get you. Never throw the towel in on your family. Your family might throw the towel in on you. They may mock you. They may make fun of you. They may criticize. They may attack. But I would never encourage you to distance yourself from your family. Love your mate. Love your children. Love their mates. Love your children's children. You know why David had such a good testimony? He loved his enemies. You know why he had such a good testimony? He loved his family. You know why he had such a good testimony? He loved the elderly. The elderly have something to give us. There's a man in this passage, he's 80 years young. David said, I'm going to take care of that man. Notice in chapter number 19, verse 31. His name is Barzillai. In verse 31, Barzillai the Gileadite came down from Rogolim and went over the Jordan with the king to conduct himself over Jordan. Now, Barzillai was a very aged man, 80 years old. He had provided the king substance. Remember back in chapter 17, verse 27 through 29, he brought cheese, he brought corn, he brought food, he brought clothes. He brought them to David and his men. He said, I'm going to take care of you. Never forget the good things that people have done for you. All of us have had people care for us and go overboard for us. Never forget it. And when God gives you opportunity, especially the elderly, and here he was providing for David, and Barzillai was very aged, and the king said to Barzillai, come over with me. I will feed you. Remember you fed me? It's my turn to feed you. Remember, Mama, you changed my diaper, and Mama, you fed me, and Mama, you walked with me the nights when I had high temper. Remember, Mama, now it's my time to walk with you. You go to any nursing home in America, there's never a traffic jam. Let's just dump them off. Call us when they're gone. It hurt us. We had to put my mother and dad in a nursing facility. They needed 24-hour day care. My sister tried as long as she could to care for them. We tried as long as we could. Then we moved them down by my sister. She said, I've got time, Jack. Let me care for them. And she did. She'd go over every day to their little apartment and make sure breakfast and lunch and dinner. And she spent her life on them. And after 7 years, they needed assisted care. We got them assisted care. But then they needed 24-hour care. And you know that it was a privilege, because they have invested their lives in their three kids. Don't dump your dad off and stick him in a rest home and forget about him. Don't dump grandma and grandpa off and say, well, you know what? The will is coming. Let's go visit them once in a while, so make sure we got our name in the will still. Let's try to get something out of somebody. He said, he's an old man now. It's my turn. I love this text. And Barzillai said unto the king, how long have I to live? He goes, I'm old now that I should go with the king to Jerusalem. I'm not going to leave my home. And I am this day 80 years old and can discern good and evil. I still got my mind. And the servant taste and eat not what I drink. And I can hear the voices of singing men and singing women. Wherefore, then should thy servant yet be burdened unto my lord, the king? I'm not going to be a burden to you. I'm not going to put weight on you. It's not time. I still got my mind. I still can hear singing. It's not time yet. Thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king. And why would the king recommend me with such a reward? I don't deserve this. Wonderful text. Stay with me. I'm almost done. Let the servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in my own city and be buried by the grave of my father and by my mother. Now watch it. He introduces his boy. But behold, thy servant Chimham. He said, I want you to know I have a boy. Maybe my boy needs help. And the Bible says that you can do whatsoever you want, verse 38. And when the king was come over and kissed Barzillai and blessed him, he returned unto his own place. And the king went on to Gilgal, and Chimham went with him. His boy went with him. David said, I can take care of your son. I like the fact that he kissed his dad. He kissed this old man. You know, there came a point in my dad's life, and we never... Italians are kissing all the time. Brother Chago, Brazilian men kiss men. dad and sons and all that? Yeah. We never did that, my dad, German. As my dad got older, I'd kiss him on the cheek. I'd say, Dad, I'm leaving now. I love you. You know, show as much expression of love to older people. I saw Heather and Amy singing up here tonight, and they're so close to us. Their dad was my roommate, and they know this. I said their dad was suffering before he went home to be with the Lord, age 51, November the 8th. I said, Brother Wally, now you're in that hospital bed and you're suffering, but you have no ability to rise up and hit me. I'm going to kiss you on the forehead. And when I leave from now on, every time I see you, I'm going to kiss you. Are you ready? Treep. And he let me kiss him. You love people while you have people. You Bible college students that are here, you've been here almost a month. August 28th you came, today's the 22nd. Now you're driving your parents nuts and crazy with all these texts. Have you taken the time to write a letter? A letter is like you write it on paper and you put it in an envelope, but you put a stamp on it. And then you put your name as a return address and you put their name. You know, once a month, my dad taught me this. Once a month, it'd be good to express your heart to your mom or your dad or to both. You know, once a month, you could write your grandma and grandpa. You could write maybe once a month your little siblings. You ought to come here. Don't tell, oh, you'd hate it here. You'd hate it here. You want your siblings at Bible college. David had a great testimony because he loved his enemies. He loved his disloyal son. He loved an old man. And I won't have you turn, and I won't turn either for the sake of time. He loved a boy. At 5 years of age, a nurse dropped him and crushed his legs. He could no longer walk. Related to Saul's family, Mephibosheth, a grandson. They found Mephibosheth, and he hadn't been shaven, and he hadn't been washed and cleansed and cleaned, because he could not take care of everything for himself. The Bible says David went and fetched him, and he brought him, and they made sure that he was shaven and clean. And he came before David knowing that his family was the family that turned against David. David said, is there anybody in the family of Saul I can show kindness to? He said, you can show kindness to Mephibosheth, but he's lame in his feet, he can't walk. David saw that opportunity. I wish we could take the time for the story. And he brought him to himself. I think it's chapter 6. He brought him to himself. He said, from now on, you're sitting at my table, the king's table. My food is your food, and I'll give you a servant, and he'll help you. I know David failed with Bathsheba. For me, publish it not. I'm not going to publish that in the streets, how bad he was. Because God said he was a man after his own heart. I tell you, on his testimony, on his tombstone, I remember the fact that he loved his enemy. He loved his family. He loved the elderly. And he loved the invalid. There's others we could go toward, and we could tell more about him, but there's four tonight. I'm begging tonight for some of you young men to say, that's going to be my testimony. I'm going to make deposits in all these relationships right now in 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade. I'm making those deposits right now in college. I'm making that deposit as a young couple or single adult. I'm making that deposit to make up for lost time I should have. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. It's so easy, Lord, to preach to these dear people. I guess it's because they're living this, what I preach tonight. I walk those cemeteries and I see the markers of our people. And I see so many, the vast majority, with just good reports, good testimonies. Served you, faithful to you, kind servants, bus workers, Sunday school teachers, deacons. They love people. And God, I'm going to dedicate my life anew tonight. Every relationship that comes, whether it's disloyal, betrayal, they turn to become an enemy, betrayal by family. God, I want to do my best to make deposits in the lives of people. I want to be able to care for the elderly more than ever. I don't want them to, in these last days of our lives, in depression, discouragement, and loneliness. I want to help the lame, the halt, more than ever.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.